with Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? That sighing next to me is Karen Kilgariff. I'm Chris Fairbanks.
And I'm Karen Kilgariff.
Yes, yeah, I mean, we covered it. I ruined the normal.
I have to say, it is like a signature, a verbal signature.
I am,
it's me.
I am only Chris Fairbanks.
Listen to the airport while we're still here.
We are the sights and sounds of LAX just passing the international gates. See if you can pick out some accents. Maybe German or Taiwanese.
Or Winnipegian, which is where I just came from.
Oh, how are the Winnipegians doing?
I love them. And
yeah?
I mean, and I'm sincere when I say they're some of the... And I think it's kind of all of Canada. I'm slowly starting to understand how incredibly amazing Canada is, because it's like a country filled with librarians, like very reasonable, seemingly educated people who don't speak in loud tones and who listen. It's very strange, and it was a very satisfying experience.
Oh, sure, Mr. Bus Ass. That's all I could think to call him, because he was rubbing against me like an ass.
He was rubbing it up against you.
And he's a bus. That was what a rude... I have half a mind to call the Hertz rental car people.
Here's the thing, though. You might be in that lane.
I guess.
Could you be in the shuttle lane?
You're on his side.
Well, I have to be.
I can't believe
you're I am on the his devil's side. Advocate, starring Keanu Reeves and Al Pacino.
Al Pacino is so good in that.
He is.
He gives a huge performance.
He's
not a
devilish.
Pacino one.
He gives the largest performance, Al Pacino size performance.
I like how he yells a lot.
Yeah, you know why? Because he does it in weird ways, like Christopher Walken speaks. He yells with strange accents, which is kind of really the secret to acting.
Yeah.
It just kind of twisted around everyone's
vocal range. I remember taking an acting class, and she said, you kind of stay at the same volume. I want you to occasionally get loud and then get quiet. And I'm like, oh, so don't act like a normal human?
Right, exactly.
You're telling me not to act natural?
You might have a little Canadian in you.
Because, truly, I mean,
do you know what I'm talking about? People
yeah,
that are
I
just
like
kind
to,
of calm
I like
time?
To stay quiet like a nation of librarians.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, no, I love every part of Canada I've been to, and that's Calgary and Quebec.
Yes.
And some BC. I guess I've been to most of the provinces. Provinces. I've been to Rhode Island. Provinces.
And then province.
Where is Winnipeg, for those who don't know? Of course I do.
You know, I couldn't... offhand, what I remember being told is we were kind of directly above Minnesota.
Okay.
And it's apparently one of the coldest cities in the world.
Wow.
It's further north than Siberia.
Wow.
And colder than most places.
Now,
apparently.
Let's say you... got hold of a Siberian tiger. Let's say you caught that tiger by
the
toe.
Sure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And he hasn't hollered, so you've maintained your...
So I don't have to let him go
yet? No,
okay.
Not yet.
Good.
But once he does, let him...
Okay.
You could take a Siberian tiger and
yes.
just take him to Winnipeg, and he'd be like, home sweet home.
He might be like, ooh, could you get me a tiger sweater?
No, and I would. I'd do anything to make a tiger happy. Or just keep him from getting mad.
Remember that part in... Did you ever see the movie Manhunter, which was a prequel to Silence of the Lambs? And it's an 80s movie.
Very much no. There's a prequel to Silence of the Lambs?
Well, it's not an official prequel, but in the book series, it is the prequel. But not... The movies don't necessarily connect in any way.
Right.
But...
It's like Shawshank Redemption is a prequel to The Body, which became Stand By Me. It's just in the same book.
No.
So different.
Because
okay.
that's like similar authors, and that's like the Stephen King world or whatever they
yes,
call it.
Yes, yes.
But this is actually, Hannibal Lecter is in Manhunter.
Oh.
But he is not the star, and it's not about him, his business. Well, it's kind of similar.
What was his business?
Hannibal Lecter ate, have you watched the TV series? It's so good.
No, should I?
Yes,
oh,
I 100%
okay.
recommend it. It's really graphic.
Wait, wasn't it canceled and everyone was up in arms?
Yes.
Okay.
But this last season is just ending. But it's so gorgeously shot and beautifully art directed and like very thoughtful and the action is crazy and it's very graphic. I think that's what people don't like, or like probably what Suits don't like about it is like literally every episode Hannibal Lecter eats someone in a very gourmet, highly gourmet way.
Oh, wow.
But it's very well written and well done. But
I would love it already. I love watching humans eat other humans.
It's and beautifully, like with a big, it'll be like a big, beautiful cabbage leaf underneath the
liver.
And
he's just presenting it for himself? Like he makes...
No, he often is feeding it to other people they don't know.
Oh, see, a guy did that in Great Falls, Montana once, and I...
Not to you.
I guess in a TV movie or a series, it's okay. But no, just to some neighborhood people.
Yeah, that's horrifying.
And then someone about my age was from Great Falls after a show in Boise, and she said, I'm from Great Falls. And I'm like, oh, every time I hear about Great Falls, I hear about that kid who was cooked up and served to the neighborhood banquet style. And she said, yeah, that was my neighbor. Oh. And she started to cry. And I'm like, well, I'm great with people.
Hold on. No.
Yes.
I reject her doing that to you.
Didn't want me to feel bad.
How many years had it been?
I don't know if she burst into tears, but she seemed very close to the kid.
You're not
and maybe,
allowed to put that on people, though. Hey, you didn't know?
Maybe she had a taste. I may have really...
Well, then she shouldn't leave her goddamn house.
I still can't have meatloaf.
I used to love hot dogs so much, and now I can't have any hot dogs.
Oh, you poor thing. That's why I say when anyone cries. Poor thing.
Oh, bless your little heart.
Hey, have you noticed something?
What I say when people cry is, you're not allowed to put that on me.
Yeah, that's what I should. Don't put that shit on me.
Take that shit back home and work it out until you can be out in public. That's my style.
Are you, so you did shows at some kind of festival. Am I right about that?
Yes. It was the first year of the Winnipeg Comedy Festival, which is called the Odd Block Festival.
Not to be confused with the Oddball.
No. Although it probably helped them publicity-wise to be confused like that
Just
way.
In case you're Googling festivals and you start with O.
Yes.
Okay.
That one would be the Meryl Streep to this young, local talent. Hot actress, but still in community theater.
How were the comics in Winnipeg? I heard there's a lot of funny people there.
There were great people there.
Yeah.
I can't say that I saw... There was a couple, like, local shows, but I was doing...
Like Latin-themed shows?
Locals only?
No, loco. Don't you know...
Loco Wednesdays?
Don't you know I'm local, Lizzie? It sounds like I'm doing a racist voice, but that's from Cypress Hill.
Oh, I was going to do Love is Blind, Homegirl, and that's from Mi Vida Loca. We can
Starring
all do.
Edward James almost has a smooth face. I've used that joke on the show before. I'll use it again.
I laughed.
Thank you.
I do that, though. That's kind of my thing. I enjoy your comedy.
Thank you. Oh. Thank you. I enjoy yours, too.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
Did the Winnipegians enjoy your comedy?
It seemed that they did. Here's one funny thing that happened. Because Drennan and I have been performing our songs together so much
and
lately.
And Drennan, he was not with you on this trip.
He was there.
Oh, okay.
But then they also booked us separately on shows.
Oh, cool.
So there was one show. And, of course, as it happens at festivals, I don't know if any of our listeners have ever gone, but they're like, it's like shows all day long. For, say, 3 days in a row.
Yes.
And so you kind of are, like, looking at a piece of paper. You're like, I've got one at 7, I've got one at 9, and I've got one at 11, whatever. So I kind of forgot that I had this show by myself. So I showed up. I went to the show because it was also a very small festival. So it was basically every show was Rhea Butcher, me, Drennan, Ron Lynch, and, like, James Adomian. And there was, like, basically they only had enough comedians to have three different combinations.
Okay. Why did I think it was a damn funny ladies competition?
Nope.
There's an all Jane, no dick, which is
in Portland, I believe, next month.
Ah, nothing to do with Winnipeg.
No.
Okay.
But north.
Sure. And cold at times.
And Rhea Butcher, who's hilarious, participating. She's one of my favorite people because I did, I just have gotten to hang out with her a lot lately because we were in Denver together.
Oh, okay.
At High Plains just the weekend before. I'm festivaled out. I will tell you that right now.
Are you?
I just am too old. I don't want to hang around. I don't want to listen to fresh young comics who love to riffing presentationally anymore.
Right.
All that has lost any amount of charm for me.
Right.
Green rooms aren't, I don't love them. I just want to charge my phone and stare at Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
It's a problem. It's just...
And the way that I and most comics deal with it, it's like, well, let's get drunk so we can be comfortable with everyone talking at once.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what I do. And you don't have that luxury.
I don't have that luxury, and I don't have the luxury of really anything right now, except for, unfortunately, my main serious problem, which is sugar. And I don't know if you've ever had a Canadian Kit Kat.
No, but I do know they do amazing things with our candies.
Yes. Canada is doing it right because they're clearly using whole products and, like, right, making things taste delicious and not filling them with wax and
you
preservatives.
You get a Kit Kat. Kit Kat. First of all, that's how they pronounce it. They put an umlaut over the A. And by that, I meant umlaut. Wow. What the fuck's wrong with my brain?
I like the idea of a fucking Kit Kat, which is big enough to lay in and take a nap in and eat at the same time.
Yeah, but, oh, that's the best.
Right? Oh. Kit Kat.
Yes, bite your pillow because you're gonna love it. Yeah, you'll bite the chocolate and it tastes like the chocolate of a Toblerone.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. It's very rich. But then the Kit Kat wafers had almost a very slight malted taste to them. It just tasted really good.
Wow.
And so the first one I had, they had like a tiny little store in the front of the hotel, the Alt Hotel, which is a very nice hotel in Winnipeg if you're going. I will completely plug them because I thought it was going to be kind of gross.
The Alt Hotel sponsor. Do you need a ride?
Alt Hotel. They like to use primary colors and fancy chairs made of rope. I can't explain it.
Nautical rope chairs.
It.
Alt Hotel. We'll leave a light on for you. Whoops, we're being sued.
So... I would be like, everyone would be hanging out and they'd start the next show and they'd be like, yeah, let's go do this and that. And I'd be like, totally, I'll see you in 1 minute. And I would get into a minivan and make some child drive me back to the hotel.
Oh, you Irish goodbye. And nothing against the Irish, but they leave parties early without telling anyone, apparently.
I'm proud of it because I don't owe anybody anything at this point.
And the thing is, I always noticed when Howard Kramer always did that when I moved here, I'd be hanging out with him and then he disappeared and I'd call him. Where'd you go? Worried about his well-being. Yeah, I had to get out of there. I just went home. No, I didn't. Well, then I'd have to say goodbye to everybody, and I didn't want to have to. You'll be doing it soon.
Part of it, too. I mean, part of it is just, it's self-preservation, and it's for sanity of, like, then you don't want to get into these rounds of, like, goodbye. No, wait, I have to talk to you about one thing, whatever.
Yeah. No, thank you.
But the other thing is, which I believe Howard and I both suffer from, is self-importance, where we really think people are going to make a big deal, so we got to do this thing. Just, you know what I mean? Like, there is a bit of a self-aggrandizement in that concept of I have to Irish goodbye.
Right.
Or everyone will just tear at my sweater because I'm so popular. It's a little bit of that. But at this thing, it's more like they're doing shows. And truly, I know for a fact people don't give a shit. It's not like they're going to be like, Karen, stick around, because all anyone's doing is comedy for other people.
I think that you're probably being realistic.
I think I am.
I mean, at the level of how much do they want you? Are they going to be clawing? Are they really going to hurt your sweater?
Right.
Or are they just going to bore you with their thoughts on comedy, which is bad enough?
It's pretty bad. I mean, there was a couple of people there that it was fun to see. And, like, Michel Buteau was there, who's one of my favorite people. Such a hilarious comedian and such a... I just could spend every day with her.
I'm guessing by the way you pronounce her name, I'd have trouble spelling it.
Buteau.
Okay.
B-U-T-E-A-U. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Kind of Frenchy a little bit.
Okay,
you
sure.
Don't know her from stand-up? She's a New York comic.
I know her from cycling.
No.
No, I don't know. I should. I don't know a lot of New Yorkers. I should.
Okay.
I need to go there more.
Michelle and Rhea and I were like a posse.
That sounds awesome.
And we had a great time.
I like Rhea skateboards.
She's hilarious.
She
truly so fun.
She was a little skate rat.
That's right. Oh, I saw those pictures on Twitter.
Yeah.
So we had, the girls had a good time, and then once they both left on the same day, and then I was like, all right, well. Anyhow, but it was a very fun, and I met, we have a big fan in Winnipeg named Ian. I don't remember your last name, Ian.
Ian Atlas, maybe?
Well. I'm not sure. His Twitter avatar is crazy. It looks like he's standing on stage doing comedy, but he's with like a cuckoo clock on his head.
Oh, I wish we could we're always given shout outs, but then we don't.
I know.
We don't know the details of names.
But I know the details, but you don't. I got to meet him in real life. But he was there, came to all my shows, is a big fan of the podcast and a fan of Drennan and my songs, and it was just cool. It was nice to have a fan.
I guess right now it's time. We apologize for not having an episode last Monday and also this Monday,
but
we've been busy. I have a job now.
Chris has a job.
It's a job. I wake up, stay late, job, every day job. And, well, you know, I'm getting used to it.
And we're doing our best.
And we both have had weekend gigs. And
here's what I love, though. I will say this. Yeah. I love that this is not... We're not just doing this in a vacuum up our own ass, like we're being idiots or self-indulgent. I love that people actually complain to us if we don't put this out, because that means it actually means something to people other than just you and I.
That's
very nice.
There's at least 24 people out there that look, that get upset and are voicing. Who knows how many other dozens aren't saying anything about it.
They might even be angrier, and they can't talk because their faces are so red. Because
their hands are shaking.
They want to murder us.
Oh, wow.
Because we're not doing our part,
Dan. Oh, God, let's keep doing it. That sounds terrible.
Yes, we are all going to be murdered. Anyway, sorry. So that was nice. And it was just a fun thing. It was like, it was very cool to be in a different country, but not have to fly in a plane for that long.
Right.
And have a legitimately different vibe of culture and of, like...
Because a lot of people scoff at the idea of... you go to Calgary, and it doesn't seem that different. It just seems like a laid-back town in Texas, because there's oil... buildings everywhere, gas company. But the part of Canada you were in, did it feel European at all other than...
No, you know what it felt like that was different to me? I kept tripping every time I walked in anywhere because there's a little ledge everywhere you walk in because of snow.
Oh.
So, you know, like, nothing's just flat once. You know what I mean? You have to step up to go into any restaurant.
Oh, interesting.
And so the first day I was there, I tripped pretty much everywhere I walked into. But there were things like that I noticed.
They call that the American shuffle, once you come in.
Oh, I heard people talking behind my back. That's what they were saying.
Yeah.
She shuffled on in. but it's the kind of place that you can tell, and maybe this is just because I'm from California, and so snow places look similar to me, like the first time I was in Madison or whatever, where like... The roofs have a certain angle.
Yeah.
All the buildings are very flat fronted. You're not going to have a thing on the front of your building that's going to collect snow, right?
Sure.
Things like that. The cars all seem new, maybe because they rust out so fast.
And there's probably basements. You know, the only reason for basements is because the plumbing has to be 6 feet underground.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So don't freeze?
So around here, pipes don't freeze.
Nope.
No need for basements, except maybe storage. But screw you. You got pipes. You can afford a storage unit. You don't have to huddle up in the winter.
Right.
So you're working during the winter, whereas, you know, in Montana, people just hide behind their beards and flannel.
The idea, though, of living in a snow environment is borderline romantic to me now, because I've only ever done it once, and it was in New York City.
Yeah.
The coldest it got was 10. And I couldn't stop laughing. I got off the subway. I thought it felt like I was in a jar of Listerine. And I laughed all the way to the front door of my work.
Why a jar of Listerine?
My eyes were watering. And it was like when I inhaled, it felt crazy. And yeah. It was like being on a different planet. I'd never experienced anything like that before. And I loved it. So it appeals to me, the idea of a very snowbound lifestyle, because it's so different.
It was part of my life forever. I would spend year round some years where it was snowing. Just take my body to Oregon, even in the summertime, and go to snowboard camps. And it was so important to me to be around snow, probably the most important.
And it was snowboarding.
Just to be able to snowboard all the time.
Yeah.
I snowboarded like it was my job, but it really wasn't.
Did you ever get sponsored?
No, my cousin Ross rode for K2, and so he got free stuff, and then I got stuff through him. And
oh, nice. So you just got to...
Which made it easier, but it is an expensive sport. It's like golfing or something. It's like you're spending a lot of money for... I used to live in Oregon, just buy a pass, and live off saltines in the lodge.
And I fucking love saltines, though.
But every day, I don't know how I survived. And just hiking every day.
Oh.
And always having energy. That's a story about a 20-year-old person.
Also, where... Now, if you did get protein, where would you get some protein?
Like, I would buy TVP, which is textured vegetable protein. It comes in powder form. You add water and then put it in a pan. I seriously ate that one winter every day.
What the fuck? Is that like... tofu?
It is. Yeah, it's textured vegetable. It's even poorer. You can buy it in bulk. I just had a giant bag of dry powder that was my dinner, and I didn't really complain. I think it was actually pretty healthy because I was eating the same thing every day, like someone training for something.
Yeah.
But
yeah, who would eat that normally? Sorry.
Someone that probably doesn't also drink malt liquor every night. So I was solid muscle, but I had a nice belly on me to give that
fun.
That extra kiss if I don't quite care enough about myself.
Or maybe it might look like you had a parasitic twin, just maybe.
Yes, just
because everything else made so much sense.
A worm with my face just gorging away at my intestines.
Snowboard, beer.
Feed me
beer at snowboards.
I wish I had arms and legs, but I'm just sedimentary.
So I will rule you. I have all kinds of political aspirations.
Yes, oh. What if you have an evil tapeworm that just was hell-bent on ruling the world, but he is caught in your body?
Yeah.
It would at least give you indigestion.
In the very least. You'd be worried.
Just a little power-hungry Trump.
I don't know if we've talked about this, but that idea of a tapeworm with your face very much upsets me.
Oh, it's the worst. Ever since I brought it up. Have you
been as upset as I've been?
For the past minute? Yes.
I am crying. Because do you remember that book? Well, I saw it as a book, but it was also the movie called Freaks.
No.
And it was the circus people, and then the people went to the circus, and they ended up, like, it's an old, like, a movie from the 30s, and it features all of these circus performers who, so it's like, you know, the tiniest man in the world.
Sure.
I think it was maybe Tom Thumb. I'm not, this is all so vague, and there's people out there that are so livid right now because they know all the names and they love it and
they're gonna look it up and act like they know it.
Right. Well,
look at me calling people out.
You're really fucking getting in their faces.
Take that, Ian. What's your last name? We should know. Take that, fan.
He wouldn't.
You know him better than I do.
Yeah, I know him really well.
Well.
But there was a man in that series, and they called him the Worm, and he not only was a little person, but he was very, very little, and he had no arms or legs, so he was literally a head on a body of a stump, and his thing was that he could roll cigarettes with his mouth.
That was his power?
Well, like, that was his, yeah, I mean, like, and it, the second I saw him in that book, like, because when I was young, I used to love morbid curiosities like that, like, I was very fascinated by all those kinds of things until I saw that guy, and then I was like, that is very upsetting.
Yeah, just, so he's a worm-like man?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, there was a person that took care of him.
Well, I guess...
Because the thing that bothered me was you could just pick him up if you wanted to.
I kind of understand why you would smoke, because smoking's bad for your circulation, and over time people have cold, tingling extremities, fingertips. You didn't have to worry about that. Smoke away, Johnny.
That's right. And it made him look cool, because he's like, oh, you think I'm just a worm man, well, check this shit out. I can do a thing that almost no one can do, roll a cigarette.
Now, was there a smoking worm in Alice in Wonderland?
There was a smoking centipede guy.
Yes.
He had tons of legs, though.
Centipedes are like worms to me, with millions of legs.
They're basically equal opposites.
Misfits of Science, do you remember that show?
I remember the name.
There was a... Courtney Cox, I think, could become invisible. That was the first thing Courtney Cox was in.
Okay.
And then there was another huge guy that could get very small. That's all I remember, but it sounds like Freaks. It sounds like it was based off of Freaks.
It was.
Yes.
Except for they were just from the 30s.
Yeah, I think it played after A Greatest American Hero.
Like, literally one of the Freaks was just a super fat lady. that now...
Well, that's not... Yeah, nowadays, we don't say that.
We
just call her a modern woman.
Hey!
What?
Hey, goddammit!
That's... No, it's not... It's
just because I have a beard.
You have exactly...
And I've eaten a lot of candy
beard,
lately.
And I don't know why you've never addressed it. I'm glad you
because
finally
so I can
it
wear
up
a tuxedo on the weekends. Half.
Half tuxedo, half wedding dress.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to be that person, have the dress on the beard side just to mess with people.
Well, that's called RuPaul's Drag Race, my friend. That's
I know,
how a lot of people
I
do
know,
it these days.
I gotta watch RuPaul's Drag Race.
Because the new look, it's almost like a hipster drag look these days, is to be this insanely gorgeous woman, but I shouldn't say that, an insanely gorgeous person.
Right.
That looks like a woman, but has a total hipster beard.
Watch your pronouns.
You got it these days. They.
You have to, I think, well, it's not like you're going to go up to someone and say, how do you identify yourself?
I would.
I guess I'll start.
I mean... Or you can just hang out until they say something. Or learn their name. I think maybe learning people's names is the key.
Yeah. Oh, God. We all know I'm bad at that.
I know. Then you're saying someone's name over and over like a weird cult leader. Who wants that?
I don't even like it during news interviews when someone goes, they're on Letterman and they're like, well, David, you know, David, and that's basically the story, David.
Yeah.
Stop doing that little gimmick.
Well,
I'll see right through it if you say my name. Hate it when people say my name.
It's me, same here. Yeah. What are you trying to get from me? Keep your hands out of my wallet.
Yeah. Just yell that. But, well, good.
Anyway,
I'm glad you had fun up in Winnipeg.
So you can just drop me off here on the 405.
Oh, by that disheveled, dis-shredded tire? Get inside it. Act like that baby. Act like the baby.
Act like a baby from Michelin. You called it disheveled, which might be my favorite word now.
Oh, look at that disheveled tire.
Oh, it's so disheveled over here.
I love making up words. I find that I do it a lot now that I'm in a room of writing. I say things and I realize because I'm talking out loud and I'm hearing myself talk more often.
Yes.
And I notice it a little when we're doing this, but I sometimes just don't know what the hell I'm saying, Karen.
You just get a whole new word coming out?
Yeah.
I love it. Is that room fun? And be careful because this will be recorded forever and most of the people you work with listen to our podcast.
I've had a lot of fun. We laugh and ideas are had. There's times where we're on a roll. But the hard part is coming up with ideas and them not being approved.
Yes.
Because it is a pilot and the network has a lot of opinions on what the show should be that aren't necessarily what we want to make, which is something that isn't all comedy. It also has to be informational, so coming up with factual things and then basing jokes off it isn't, it's like, I don't know. And we're learning. I'm learning.
Yes. Well, that's how it is on pilots. Yeah.
It is.
I think oftentimes even the network doesn't really know what they want. They just keep saying what they don't want until something takes shape.
Yeah. When I was doing art for a living, that was so common that people, just to validate their position, would say no. They know what they don't want, but they couldn't begin to describe what they do want.
Yeah.
And then so you'd end up drawing a bunch of different things or designing other versions of it based on their feedback. And ultimately, they end up liking the first thing you ever showed them.
Yeah. But
I think that hopefully that happens here a little bit.
Yeah, because nobody's going to go with the first thing. I mean, that's just illogical.
Right.
You have to just kind of suss out all possible options.
Yeah, no one's willing to believe that your first idea might be your best. Because
it's the first.
Yeah.
And you look at it as like, eventually you look at it, it's fun to think of 9 options. And then if you have to go back to the first one, fine.
Yeah.
But like the fun and the game and the talent everybody has is the ability to come up with endless amount of choices.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun to do that. Because then when you do come up with another one that's a variation that's better, it feels even better because it was teamwork.
Yes, it really is a fun thing.
Yeah. It's hard for me just in general to assemble an idea with people. Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah, group writing.
Yeah.
You have to get used to it. Because you were such a, like, one-man band when you did World's Dumbest.
Yeah, with the cymbals, and then I had my trumpet. And then...
You wouldn't even work with a monkey.
No, no.
So selfish.
Unless I needed something grinded. But I, yeah, it's been interesting working with others. It's been interesting going into a room that is just has a table and no windows. And
ew.
I don't smoke or anything. There's no, like, breaks. I'm thinking of just periodically getting up and doing sit-ups or jumping jacks because I'm already feeling quite sedentary. And,
yes.
And
that's the worst part about
it. Each drive there, my back jiggles a little more because of lost musculature.
Yes.
So.
It's true. It's a very, you're not this way anyway, but, like, I'm already, like, a stress eater or like an emotional eater, so then you get into that kind of thing of like when you do leave the room, it's to go get something, or suddenly you
right.
have these weird cravings,
exactly,
and then you're fighting that all
yes.
the time.
It's yeah. happening. I've been eating. There's these bags of little chewy fruits.
Yes,
and I'm not a candy. I don't have a sweet tooth, and I'm developing one out of boredom.
Yeah.
Oh, please be nice, Mr. Carr.
You did it.
Yeah.
No, that can be the worst part. I started drinking a lot of green tea, but my problem is just I always balance, like, anxiety or any kind of negative feeling. My answer is always ingest something.
Yeah.
Instead of, like,
God, me too.
Write it out and just, you know,
well, I think,
understand it'll pass.
Yeah, the reasons you decided not to drink anymore, I have the same. Well, I'm pretty addictive, I think, and I don't need it to be coffee all day because my ass is going to fall out of me. it's just going to drop out.
But it really does do something in the morning. I mean, it really does get your brain going
yeah.
and get your kind of like when you have to be hyper. It's like that comedy thing. You have to be in a little spazzy state to kind of let
right.
good things come
it
out.
It took me a few days to start blurting. I think I get kind of shy and I'll have an idea, but I'm like, oh, it's going to be dumb. But now I just let the dumb ideas fly like I do on this podcast.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I told Jamie that on the first day. She just reported back to me of like, here's this and here's that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I said, is Chris quiet? And she said, he was kind of quiet. And I said, yep, he's going to do that until, like, just wait till the end of the week. Because
oh,
I know
cool.
that you're exactly like me in that way, where, like, when I'm in a question mark situation, I just wait. I let everybody else do, you know
right.
what I mean? Like, that's my thing, is just kind of, like, you hang back.
Yeah.
Then once you get comfortable, people cannot make me shut up.
Yeah, I'm just starting to get to where it's like, okay, I'm a valid part of this. Let me speak my mind.
But you need to, it's almost like I always need to know exactly what the game is. You know what I mean? Like, instead of just like, hey, what about this or that? Like, I hate being wrong so much that I have to know the full perimeter.
Right.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, or your kind of voice in the room. Mine has been, people are setting up an idea and I blurt out what the person should say.
Yes.
Trying to get a laugh in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm, you know, structure, I think I need to leave to other people because I'm schizophrenic. Am I schizophrenic?
Nope.
Okay. I wasn't asking you.
Oh, you're asking the other voice?
See, that's a classic 1-2 bit.
It was good.
Oh, it's Catskillian.
Catskillian.
It's Catskillian. Am I going the right? I'm going.
Yeah, you're going to have to get all the way over to the left,
yes,
though, pretty
yes.
soon.
Yes, I am going to.
You have some time, though.
Right when we're done, purchase gasoline.
Oh, okay.
We're dry. Hey, I think there's a few things we should note. This podcast is going okay, right?
I feel great about
and
it.
And guess who's driving?
Oh, Chris Fairbanks is driving.
Yeah. And
sound manning.
And also, we were at LAX. There was a lot of traffic. And who didn't fly off the hinges?
Chris Fairbanks.
Yeah.
Not one time.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, I'm learning to play well with myself.
That's private. Well, also, it's that
just
thing.
Just combing my hair.
I was actually super tense because all day long I thought today was Sunday. And because it's just one of those weird, like,
right, we were
usually
planning
come home on
a
Sunday.
Meaning we would have had the podcast on. That's okay.
But also, that's the terrible night at LAX. And even though it's not great right now, what certainly wasn't as terrible.
Monday's the worst.
Was it? Is Monday Tuesday, worse than Sunday?
I don't know. You're right. I bet Sunday's
worse.
Because
Sunday's the end of the weekend.
Yeah.
So at least it wasn't... I mean, it was like 90% awful, but at least it wasn't 98% awful.
Yeah, I always come back on Sunday.
Yeah.
Certainly all the comics are coming back on Sunday.
Yes.
Were you with Ron Lynch? Was that Ron Lynch?
Yes.
Okay.
And actually, I asked him to do the podcast. He had already gotten a ride, but he wants to do it.
Oh, yeah. That would have been great if he just jumped in, but we can have him in the future.
Yes.
Terrific.
This was my time. My time. It's actually fun to legitimately be getting a ride home from you, though.
Isn't it? Have we done it like this?
I can't remember.
I don't think so. Maybe someone out there could tell us. Which episode?
If I've been driven home before?
It was just Karen and I. Did we drive Karen home from LAX?
I don't think.
Answer that and you get a free pillowcase filled with soap.
Yeah.
You're nuts.
No, it's this way.
Okay, I'm just...
No.
Scared of this.
Wrong direction.
Oh, certainly. I will appear drunk now. I'm just drifting.
Yeah.
Like I'm driving in Tokyo.
That's my way. What have you been doing? Oh, working. Sorry.
Yeah, working, but also I've been doing some stand-up still. I'm trying to keep doing that. I've been doing warm-up for the comments section, which has kind of become fun. I have like a headset, and the guy's like, okay, we're going to need applause out of break here. That's how he talks.
How many have you done?
I think six of them.
Oh, that's great.
I'm starting to get the hang of it. I'm realizing you don't just do your jokes. I literally have to make the audience laugh the second, third, or fourth time they've heard the same joke.
Yeah.
And yell at them like fourth graders, which is weird because some of them are people I know that aren't being paid to be there.
Yeah.
But other audience members, studio audiences are often paid, and often they're just like, just moved to LA from Ukraine.
Yes.
And maybe the jokes aren't hitting for them, and
maybe English isn't their first language. Maybe they're on a tiny bit of smack.
Or it's just an audience person that's simply on smack, and
it's as simple as smack.
It's as simple as smack.
Oftentimes in this town,
they have billboards.
Actually, I'm very proud that you're still doing that, because I think warm up is the hardest job there is.
It's fun. I mean, it's an opportunity to get paid to kind of do stand up in town, and also it's forcing me to fill a lot of time and not worry
and
about
write.
It and not have jokes, and yeah, it's made me tell stories that I think will turn into jokes, and it's been nothing but enjoyable.
That's great.
I like being busy, Karen.
Look at you, Johnny Two Jobs.
Yeah. Jimmy Two Jobs. Can I be Jimmy? Sorry.
Yes.
My middle name is James.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. How about Jimmers?
Let's not be crazy about it.
That's what I call my dad when he's mad. To make him a little more mad.
Oh.
Jimmers, what's wrong? And then they go, knock it off.
That's my dad's name, too, Jimmers.
Did you ever throw a Jimmers at him?
I haven't yet.
It's fun. It'll really gum up the works.
Sometimes I call him Jimmy Jim Jim. That's his second wife. She would say that.
How many wives has he had?
What's that?
How many wives has he had?
He's on his third wife, and she's delightful.
Fun.
But when my dad first got married the second time, so I guess not the first time, the second time,
remarried. Yeah.
Yes, when he first got remarried, I was a little nervous because they were very excited, you know, out of their first marriages, divorce, and then so excited that they wore matching rugby shirts. And, you know, that took its toll. But we went to a therapy forum. We went to a landmark seminar, and I said, I hate these shirts. And he's like, okay, son, I'll stop wearing rugby shirts. You know, like, sometimes it seems like someone will have two kids, and they aren't twins, but they just want to dress them up the same.
Yeah.
Or are they fraternal, because the one has the red hair? No, we just dress them up.
It's just easier for me to see them in a group.
Well, you don't know, you're doing irreparable damage to their development as an adult. You might as well give them each rifles.
But in your case, it was your parents that were wearing matching shirts.
Yes, yes.
That's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Dad, if you're listening, I'm sorry when we're laughing at
your
expense.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot.
Okay, Jimmy, Jim's.
I'm so sorry. but the idea that it is terrible because it's just like, you know, what parents are embarrassing anyway.
Doing a U-turn just because we've only been talking about 40 minutes.
Oh, we're already at your keep place. It going.
Let's keep this going.
But the idea that it was such a problem that you had to take it to the Landmark Forum is incredibly delightful to me.
Well, I saw, and I had to come up with something fast because the guy that spoke right before me was a big, tough truck driver, and boy, did his dad touch his butthole.
Oh, man.
And he was being very open and honest, and he's like, well, yep, he had his way with me a number of times, and it was a big, huge, tough guy, and it must have been so hard for him to talk, and then I was just scrambling like, Dad, hit me now, give me something. But yeah, it was, that thing is a cult, and I think you're familiar with the Landmark thing, but
yes.
Not a cult, I don't know, I don't want
to. It's like a pyramid scheme.
It is, yes.
Or something, Ponzi scheme.
I feel like they scam the people that end up becoming the leaders of it.
Yeah.
Also.
Anytime you have to pay a bunch of money to get healthy.
Right.
I guess.
Well, therapy is that.
Therapy is pretty expensive, but I have insurance.
Yeah.
You can't, and it's like, it doesn't increase my, I know I'm going to pay $100 each time to basically complain at
right.
one lady. And
it's
she doesn't say, here's what you've got to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. She just goes, I don't know about that.
See,
and then I go, ooh, you're right.
Yeah. The deeper you got with this thing, the more that seminars cost. You realize the people teaching them are hypnotized into doing it for almost nothing. That's the problems I had with it. But I did get a lot out of it, and I think it was because I went with my family.
Well, and also, this goes back to my, and I know I've talked about this before, I won't go on about it, but I very much, I so believe in the Brené Brown. I've talked to you about that, right? She's the shame researcher, and she's written all these books about shame shame resilience, because that's what the big trucker before you, saying the thing that you think makes you different, ugly, alone, everything, saying that out loud to a group of people and having that group of people go, oh, fuck, that's terrible, we hear you, that's awful, thank you for being here, that makes shame and all the terrible things that go along with shame go away. And that's what people are looking for in all of those systems that they end up going to, whether it's a cult or something that actually helps them or whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone's just looking for someone to go, not to go, oh, here's how you fix it or never say that again or whatever, but to go, I hear what you're saying. That is fucked. You didn't deserve that, you know, and we're here with you.
Yeah.
Just being in it with them.
Yeah, and I think I can use that.
Right now?
I'm going to say, I as a kid, Karen, I used to eat my boogers. And you know what? I haven't told anyone.
Ever?
It was gross.
It is gross.
Yeah, and to quit, and I quit on my own, I would imagine me collecting so many boogers together that it was the size of a baseball, and I had to bite it like an apple. I had like an apple, a sphere of boogers, sometimes
no.
different people's.
No, no.
Yeah. And that's how I quit.
Is any of this true?
Yes.
Is it for real?
Hey, that's not what they do at
the forum. I'm sorry.
Yeah, what if I went to that truck driver and said, your butthole? What kind of a father is that? Is any of this true?
But that's why I'm not on the podcast with that truck driver. He's not funny at all.
Well, I'm glad. It feels good for me to have said that.
Fine, I'll say mine. I used to eat, my mom would buy Milano cookies.
I wish you just said booger balls.
Booger balls that were, I would collect them from around my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
My mom would get Milano cookies when guests would come over because she had this specific dessert she used to make.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go in, and you know how those Pepperidge Farm cookies, they are laid in on levels?
Yeah.
So there's like four in a little white cup, and then there's a piece of cardboard?
Sure, sure.
So we would, I would eat the levels and then just replace them with things so that when she went to make dessert, there was only the top four.
Oh, but it was just a hide a key or something?
Yeah, it'd be like, or I would leave the cardboard in tipped up, so it was just holding the cups up, almost like a little house of cards. It was a real house of cards emotionally because, you know.
It came toppling down one day?
Because clearly I had a major eating problem from day one, and so did you.
Well, my problem was there's no goddamn food in the house.
I guess that, do you think that's what it might have been? Like an anxiety response to that?
Yeah, I always ate, and I still eat with the urgency of someone in a prison mess hall because I eat like someone's going to come and take it away.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes, and I think we've talked about this, my mom would make a dish or something and be there on the counter, and my sister and I would scramble over to get it. And she said, don't eat that. It's for a recipe for work. So we're like, damn it. Frozen burritos it is.
So she would do things like...
We knew she was able to follow a recipe and cook. Well, yeah. Not that late. But I think moms should maybe provide food.
No, absolutely. My mom was the same way. We had Triscuits. She would come home from work and have Triscuits and cheese and wine. And then sometimes throw in... like a couple chicken breasts and then overcook them and make some minute rice. I actually love that meal now. Like, if I make that, it's really comforting. Minute rice, canned corn, and a really overcooked chicken breast.
That doesn't sound bad to me.
I was
the only person that went off to college and everyone's complaining about the food in the food zoo where everyone ate, and I thought it was the best shit I'd ever eaten. I gained that 15 pounds that people talk about.
It's so funny. It's like, I always think about that of like, so the people who are so lucky that they don't, that food isn't their thing, it's some other thing. And then I'm just like, yeah, but that thing is torturing them the way food tortures me.
Yeah.
It's just a different result.
Yes.
It just seems to me like the people who are addicted to exercise, you know.
Or simply smack.
Or... simply smack. Then they get to have nice bodies.
Yeah.
And exactly. On all the great things that go along with it.
Loose teeth. What's this guy doing?
Being groped on the bus.
This guy.
Was this some cop action?
Yeah, I always get... I don't know why cops are making me nervous lately. Is it something I've done?
Have you... are your licenses
all my licenses are in order. Fishing.
Good.
Commercial driving.
C-Class, you can drive a
oh, yeah.
Semi?
Big rig, you bet.
Good,
18
good, good.
Gears,
nice.
I'll shift the fuck out of them.
Can you do one of those three-point turns on an 18-wheeler?
I can try right now, and then that's the end of the podcast.
That's the backing it up.
Oh, okay, I thought you were that person at the party that does that. Oh, no.
Very similar.
It is.
Those truck drivers love to party.
Someone sent us a nice... sent me an email on my little contact form on my website and said they really appreciate when we talked about our moms. So we
really?
Yeah, maybe not this time, but we should have a mom episode.
We should. You know what's weird? I will say this. I keep on dreaming. I don't know if you get this ever. I keep having dreams where my mom is fine. And in the dream, I go, what the fuck? She was really, really bad.
Yeah.
And in the dream... But you're not supposed to say anything in the dream.
Karen, I have the same dream.
Do you have that dream?
Yeah.
And I get really irritated, but I know I'm not allowed to be.
I get mad because she's been pretending.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can't, but you know you can't.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. We have the same dream.
Yeah, I really do. I've, I think that's good because we don't want to remember our moms without all their brain power.
Right. Exactly.
I think it's good, and I think that is how I remember my mom.
And it's easier because we definitely have resentment toward our moms for leaving us.
Yes.
And so it's easier to feel that toward the healthy version of your mom in a dream.
Right.
Than the feeling that I have sometimes, which is just like, what the fuck? And it just hits me randomly every once in a while where I just go, oh, fuck. Like, that's such a weird absence.
Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
I'm going to run out of gas. Speaking of absence.
The absence of fuel.
I'm drunk right now, speaking of absence.
You should not have gotten drunk on absinthe before you came to pick me up.
It's just so blue and inviting.
It's green.
Or green and inviting.
You were writing all your sad poems and sipping absinthe.
Oh, yeah. I do it very classically. I have a thimble of Coke and a powdered wig.
Yes. And then just tons of jokes for Jamie Lee's show on True TV.
Just coming off of a scroll. Tomorrow I'm just going to roll it across the table. Here are thine jokes.
Hey, did you have to watch the VMAs for that show?
No, but I did watch today a clip of Chris Hardwick hosting some segment of the VMAs in 1995, and I realized, wow.
Shit.
That was 20 years ago.
Oh, no, he's been busting ass for quite some time.
Is this where we were? Yeah.
Yes.
Take a left here.
Yeah. I just watched the part, which I really loved, where Nicki Minaj got her award, and then she started talking shit at Miley Cyrus.
Okay, yeah, explain that to me. I heard it
was like
about it.
Basically, Miley Cyrus got interviewed, and Miley Cyrus was talking about race, some element of race, and mentioned Nicki Minaj, which is not smart. Yeah. But, and so when she got her award, she was like, and now back to this bitch who been talking about me in the press and da-da-da. Yeah, Miley, what's good? Which is my favorite. It's like, because she's basically saying, fuck you, or like, what's up, or come at me. But it was, what's good? Like, I feel like a 90-year-old woman these days where, like, all the slang is totally nonsensical
and
to me.
I'm pretty up to speed with, I think, most of the slang, except I just said up to speed.
But I think this is Nicki Minaj personal slang. Like, I think that's probably what she says.
What's good?
What's good? Which, and I love
her
face.
Well, I like the new back. Is that what is that what Miley was supposed to say?
Do you know that Miley Cyrus, in her classic Disney star, child star way, went, you know that things get turned around in the press, like, weirdly calmly received the comment, like, when I the clip I watched,
like, a well-trained
child
who's been robbed of their youth.
just a creepy person who was, when they were seven, was also 35.
I told you about the time there was, like, a celebrity golf tournament, and on one team golfing together were Kenny G, Michael Douglas, and Haley Joel Osment. And Haley was sinking these long putts with the concentration of a seasoned pro.
Yeah.
And then at the end, but Kenny G and Michael Douglas were treating him like a kid, and he'd sink a putt, and they'd put him up on their shoulders and, like, hey, the kid, he's got it. And he was like, put me down, sirs.
Oh.
Like, he seemed really. And then at the end, his dad came over and they shook hands with full eye contact, that kind of handshake that you only make with a business partner.
Oh, no.
And it just was. But he seems to have grown up fine, grown up, you know.
Oh, my God. Spoils of Babylon, one of my favorite shows.
Is he on it?
He's on it. He plays Kristen Wiig's son, and he's so funny. He knows exactly who he is, what he is, and he's hilarious, and he is a great actor.
Yeah, maybe you don't need the pitfalls of struggling through a youth to become a level-headed adult.
No, I think he had some pitfalls, though. Remember, he got arrested for a DUI?
Right, yeah, I guess.
I mean,
he's like 20 or something. But yeah, you're a kid still.
He's no Macaulay Culkin, but...
No.
I think he's lived, at least. He's lived a little.
He's no party monster.
No, he didn't murder anybody.
Macaulay Culkin. Oops. Sorry about that noise.
God damn it.
God damn the noise.
God damn it.
I'll try and doctor it. I'm not the best sound engineer, but I've been taking some stabs at it. Or the last episode, you know, I'm doing what I can.
I mean, we're doing good. For two people who don't know what the fuck they're doing ever.
Yes.
Well, you do.
I'll take that.
I think we're doing good. The fact that, oh, when I was in Denver, there was a guy, shit, I'm sorry, I won't remember your name, because it was Denver. That was one festival ago. What is my life? I'm so old. But he told me that our stuff goes up on Stitcher, and so there's
someone
wrong.
Someone made a comment the other day and said, you're no longer on Stitcher, and it makes me sad. So we got to find out what the hell Stitcher is.
Yeah, we have to find out what that what can be done about it, what we're supposed to do. The person I talked to said that there might be people at All Things Comedy that know the passwords or
Okay, I'll look into that.
But it was like, it goes back to a certain... It ends at Chip Pope's episode. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a recent thing.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
That Chip Pope was a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I mean, it's not like, you know, I don't know.
We'll get to the bottom of it.
I mean, is there any other business you need to work out? Should I balance my checkbook right now?
Well, I could use, I've counted up these receipts. I'll go ahead and hand you these. That's the sound of paper. Okay,
let's see. Green here. Visor.
Yeah. Oh, okay, these are all...
Rhubarb.
Yeah, it's all just rhubarb.
Tax rhubarb.
I keep in my glove jockey box.
Why are you buying all this rhubarb?
I don't know. It's the tanginess. It's the fact I don't know what to do with it. It's the fact that I don't really like celery, but this looks like it, so maybe it'll help with my celery hatreds. I don't know. I don't know rhubarb from Shinola.
But you do, you're up on the slang.
Oh, yeah. For land's sake.
Shinola doesn't exist anymore.
No. It was quickly pushed away by the popularity of sarsaparilla. Which the kids can't stop talking about nowadays.
Don't forget chicory root.
Or jicama.
Now we're just naming things that sound weird.
Yeah. Oh, I love vocab Tourette's. Okay, now I mean it. I'm dropping you off at your
house.
Okay,
good, because I'm so tired. I'm going to die.
Just lay down in the map. Lay down in a map.
Okay.
Figure out what you're doing tomorrow.
Could you drop me off at the gas station? I have to buy a map.
Yes, of course. We haven't had a paper map for a decade, all of us. And I'm tired of these cash-only places. I haven't had cash in my pocket since the 90s. Do I look like some kind of a fence mender?
Yeah.
I get paid in checks. Like a grown-up.
We just actually, at this festival, we got paid in cash, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's fun to get a whole pile of cash.
Is there a car in front of my house? That's so upsetting.
Well, we're about to give them some lip.
This is what I fear.
No, they aren't in front of your house.
Okay, good.
Well, that was a fun time, Karen.
That was. Oh, I don't know. I'm so scared to... I don't want to honk in front of my asshole neighbor Chuck's house.
It's okay. I think people know that we do that, and I can do... You know that I'm like a Michael Winslow when it comes to voice sounds. So.
Will you do a vocal honk?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, then I'm going to do your part.
Okay.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
I am going to be doing some gigs with Todd Berry in the 11th and 12th. I'll be in Arizona at Tempe and Tucson. On the respectively the 11th and 12th, and then Missoula, Montana, my hometown, with Todd Berry on the 16th.
Oh, fun!
Pictures for my calendar that I'm gonna sell a calendar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, self-indulgent calendar of my own face. Well, me and photographs that are illustrating some of my jokes.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Is that your idea?
It's my friend Andy Kemis's. He's a photographer, and he said, let's make a calendar. And I said, okay, I guess I'm not opposed to that.
That's a great idea.
Thanks.
I'm going to be doing Dave Ross's Terrified Live at Meltdown Comics on Monday, September 7th at 9 o'clock. And that's kind of... That's a live podcast. It should be good, so...
That sounds great.
I come to that.
Terrific.
I really like Dave Ross. All right, so this has been Do You Need a Ride?
D-Y-N-A-R!
Are you leaving or are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you need a ride? Do you need a ride? Do you need a ride?
with Karen and Kress.